We continue this evening in Pastor Doug's absence with the theme that he introduced the past two Sundays. Pastor Doug and my wife Sylvia are down in St. Louis trying to remedy some of the problems we're having with Sylvia's dad. He is 96, has become extremely stubborn. May I just say he's remained extremely stubborn all of his life. He's 96 years old now. And we now have discovered this past week that he is bringing these problems upon himself in a very dangerous way, and in a way that we're trying to resolve this week. The situation is his love for money, which he worships idolatrously, causes him, when he sends out to get a prescription, to not follow the doctor's prescription. He will tell whoever is picking up his pills, just get me 6 pills, because in that way he doesn't have to pay as much as if it's 30. And then he takes them accordingly. So in the last several months, what he's been doing is not in any way following his medications. He has different types of problems, one of which is a very common problem in America, diabetes. And so he will not medicate properly, and as a result, his blood sugar goes sky high, 400, 500, when they finally get to measuring it, and then he becomes dizzy and falls over. This has happened 3 times simply as a result of not taking his medications properly, timely, and sufficiently. And so Douglas and Sylvia are down there to try to drill it into him somehow that he has to do this. And we've discovered the simplest ways to say, if not, you won't only be spending $6 or $7 more for your prescriptions, you'll be paying a couple $1,000s a day because you'll be in the hospital. Quite frankly, no one in the family, Dana, Don, Douglas, Connie, myself, we don't think that's going to work either. I mean, he will just do, you know, the doctor is living across the street, which is pretty handy. And she has come over as a service to our family to get him into bed and settled for the night and with the proper medications. And just the other day, she left. Okay, Carl, all set. See you tomorrow. Yeah, everything's fine. Okay, good night. Down, out the house, and remembered something at the last minute, turned around. By then, Carl was already downstairs snacking in the kitchen. I mean, what can you say? Anyway, pray for Carl. Pray for Sylvia. Okay, anyway, that's why they're not here. The continuation of the theme that Pastor Doug began simply says, wake up, wake up. You know, I read through a commentary quickly on Ephesians 5, and I was shocked. I was really shocked because this commentary goes back hundreds of years. And it says the problem in the Christian church right off the bat from the beginning was that people would go out and get drunk and think they were enjoying life. And I just stopped reading. I thought, good grief. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. 2,000 years ago, people would go out and get drunk. Usually then, it would be wine, not liquor, and think they were having fun. And that's why Paul in this letter says, do not fill yourself with corruption. Fill yourself with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it talks about being filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Christian church was encouraged to get together, to have fun, and to sing and to praise God, because the world around them was celebrating immorality, sexual licentiousness. Nothing has changed. Pretty frightening how the world can think they're having fun by getting stoned and drunk and immorality. And Paul talks about this in the fifth chapter of Ephesians. There was a heresy already in those days. Christ had just ascended to his Father in heaven. This heresy has had a revival in the past 50 or 60 years here in America. It's called Gnosticism. There are books written on Gnosticism. It was the first Christian heresy. There were many, many things that they taught falsely about God's Word. And what's happened now is archaeologists have found some of their writings from the Gnostics. And they're amazed. This goes back to the time of Christ. Maybe this is another edition of God's Word. The apostles had one and the Gnostics had one. And they used this to try and prove false doctrine. Isn't that a neat trick of the devil? To take the first heresy of the Christian church and reactivate it 2,000 years later. There are entire books out in the bookstores about Gnosticism. Maybe this is the truth. Maybe not what the apostles wrote, see? And they're confused because they're both extremely ancient, approximately the same time. Rather than go into detail tonight about what the whole Gnostic theology was and what the evils were, let me just tell you what the main evil was. They had one overriding thing that they taught that literally made everything evil. They taught that there's two parts to man, spiritual and earthly. Spiritual and earthly. Now, since you're spiritually right with God and everything is fine there, the earthly part doesn't matter. You can commit sexual sins, you commit any type of immorality, it's fine because it doesn't involve your spirit. And your relationship with God is spiritual, therefore your physical relationship is immaterial. You can do anything you want. And as I was reading that, getting ready for this sermon the last several days, I was reminded God calls things back to my mind in an amazing way. I just marvel at the way things come back into my mind, and I recall one night in the dormitory, some of the classmates at the seminary were half-drunk already. Yes, we had drunkards at the seminary. That's 52 years ago already. Can't imagine what it is by now. And there was a strip club in Illinois about 40 miles away on the other side of the river. Hey, Paul, you want to come with us? Where are you going? Going over to, I don't even remember what the name of the strip club was. We're going over to watch a few shows. And I was always regarded as one of the more disciplined seminarians. And I said, you guys shouldn't be doing that. You're studying for the ministry. How can we be studying for the ministry and going to something like that tonight? Oh, then you get yelled at as you're robbing them of their fun and so on. I can remember Pastor Doug had the same problem at college. You know, you don't go along with the gang, well, then who do you think you are? You know? As a matter of fact, that night they said almost the exact same words that St. Paul said, that the Gnostics were quoted as. I can recall one of the seminarians saying, hey, we have the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ takes all our sins away. So what difference does it make if we commit a few more of them? He forgets those too. Gnosticism. God doesn't care how you act and behave because he's forgiven you already. He forgave the whole sins of the whole world. Do you see how Satan works? Man, And Paul is saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. The world around you is on the road to hell. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's destroying marriages. I honestly think, you know, I suppose someone would object to it if you put down every divorce in the last 50 years and how many of them were caused by drinking. It'd be well over half, drunkenness and the immorality that goes right along with it, and the fact that the addiction is so strong that some people claim it can't be defeated. Well, of course it can be if you wish to and if you ask God's help to. But it's the same thing, the world around us versus God and God's people. And so St. Paul is saying, shape up, wake up, be alert, don't follow along with what the world is doing. You know what happens to the clergymen that begin as seminary students like that at the seminary? They don't end up in the ministry. They don't end up in the ministry. I remember who some of those students were from my first year at the seminary. And I know where they've ended up. Thank God they're not in the ministry. God has a way of weeding people out, doesn't he? He can get rid of those that don't really serve him, and they don't last very long. We've had excellent examples of that here on the south side of Milwaukee. Our little mission church that we started 25 years ago has had 5 pastors already. One of them committed adultery. One was a drunkard. The other has some really wingy problems. God has a way of getting rid of the prophets that are false prophets and immoral and misleading God's people. We have to leave that in the hands of God. There are fakers and problems in every profession, including the ministry. Doctors, dentists, lawyers, you know, especially lawyers. Excuse me, Bob. I don't really mean that. Anyway, and so God simply says to his people, wake up, wake up. Be aware of what's going on around you and stand firm. Stand firm. Be morally correct. Be filled with God's spirit instead of evil spirits, instead of things that are wrong. That's the theme, and I'm sure Pastor Doug would want to impress upon you, it's that same call. I love this John the Baptist theme. We haven't found out yet if we can get the bookmarks, but we're going to try to make those into bookmarks, which simply tells us the night is far past. It's almost gone. The day is at hand. If we could all live that way, if we could just live that way and say, you know, we're living in the night. And St. Paul uses light and darkness. When you read this Ephesians 5, he compares light and darkness. If you are the light of the world and Jesus Christ is in you, it will expose the darkness. It will show the evil, and you won't have any problem identifying what is what. So wake up, take a look, identify it, shine out against those things that are in darkness and evil, and let the light of Christ come upon them. Let your witness be with you. And that's how he speaks of this, the light and the darkness. So keep that in mind this Advent season. Take a look at your life. Take a look at the life of people around you. And try to be a radiant light, shining the light of Jesus Christ. His coming and his second coming is very near.